Can everyone see me down here? You can see me down here, right? All right. Should I come right beside you, Glenn? I might later. Yeah. Oh, well, good morning. I was, as I was up this morning, I saw on a friend, well, not a friend, a person that I've been following a little bit, who is on Twitter, and he's a pastor and author, and he posted this. He said, "It's the time of year that I don't know what day it is, but I'm at church, and I've prepared a sermon. I hope someone shows up." And so I was like, okay, I get it. I understand that. And so thank you to all of you who are here this morning. And then someone just greeted me with Merry Everything. It's this in-between part, right? Although in the church calendar, we're still celebrating Christmas, which is an amazing thing. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So today I've entitled this sermon, this teaching time, Christmas Continues. Turn with me, if you have, John 1, verses 1 to 18. If you have it in, I'm going with the analog this morning, right here, version, but because of that, I'm wearing these glasses, so if you like the librarian version of me, here you go. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about Him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." The reading of God's word. Amen. We're going to come back to this passage. I don't want to lose what's happening here with John. It's a long passage with some amazing insights. But this is John's Christmas story. A couple days ago, we were all here. Most of us were here for our Christmas Eve service. And we read, where did we read from? Anyone remember the Gospel of? Tony will. Luke. We read from the Gospel of Luke. So Luke's account of the Christmas story with angels and a manger and shepherds. And then we have Matthew's story that we're going to read next week a little bit more about when the wise men came, the Epiphany, and where that story talks about that the gospel is for all nations. And we're going to celebrate a baptism here next week because we have someone that said yes to this Jesus, the Christ, being his Lord and Savior. And so today we sit in John's account of the Christmas story. What John wants his readers to understand is that this is about the cosmic Christ, the Logos of God, the Word, the Logos of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. This understanding of who God is has, Eugene Peterson says, moved into the neighborhood, made his dwelling among us. The one who was there at the beginning of time has been revealed to all of humanity by becoming what? One of us. Just like one of us. Yet, Jesus was fully God and fully human. This is a mystery that I don't know if we can fully understand. But we want to sit in this today, fully God and fully human. John here wants us readers and the people in the first century, and I would say us too, is that wants us to know that the creator of all things became the created. Why? To reveal God to us, to humanity, so we're able to somehow understand, see with our own eyes, touch with our own hands, hear with our own ears those who God is, that is, this God that is full of unfailing love and full of faithfulness. I wonder, I dare say that Jesus came for, if we jump ahead in the story of John, Jesus came for the Thomases to touch. Allow them to hear and see and explore who he was. Came for the Peters, who just keeps trying to follow and gets it wrong. Came for the Marys and the Marthas, for the Kevins and the Judys and the Bobs and the Beths. The cosmic Christ is revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Those first five verses of John, he's wanting his readers to remember the creation stories in Genesis as well. They would have jumped right back. It would have, as they would have said, in the beginning, that would have caught the reader's attention. And it would have brought them back to the Genesis story. And here, but John's saying this logos, this understanding, this wisdom of God is fully revealed and is now the created. The located, the person of Jesus Christ, who's actually present with a particular people and a located time in a particular time of history as well. Christmas and the incarnation that it celebrates, this Genesis stories of creation begin with heaven and earth, but then one author says that's merely a warm-up event. The creation of human life, man and woman, is designated as the image of God. Man and woman are alive with the very breath and spirit of God in those first creation stories. If we want to look at creation at full, creation at its highest, we look at humanity. We look at where God says, this is very good. And now here, John's new creation account, his second creation story. We have Christ, the Logos, the understanding, the wisdom of who God is, revealed in a person so that we can have a better understanding of who God is. So let's just sit in those five verses again. I'm going to read them slowly. We've done this before. I want to read them slowly, and I want some of these words to maybe jump out at you. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is John's Christmas message, and it's this big, big cosmic understanding of who God is, yet God has come near in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, so as I try to understand this, as I said on Christmas Eve, I want to just repeat what I said on Christmas Eve a little bit. At just the right time. Sometimes, have you ever thought, like, how come God waited so long to reveal himself to us? Why did he wait, like, 2,000 years in human history to be able to, why? Scripture says at just the right time, he revealed Jesus, he sent his son. And we kind of go, okay. And yet, I wonder if it's about the fact that 30 years before the birth of Jesus, Rome, under the rule of Caesar Augustus, became a huge empire through military power and dominance. You've heard me say that lots. Making Caesar Augustus the son of God. So, because Julius Caesar was his father that dominated and ruled the world, and the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, overtook everything by force. And they would talk about the good news, the Evangelion, the good news that Rome is taking over. This is the good news. And there was this peace that existed, but it was peace through violence and bloodshed. And now we have Augustus that spoke of his father Julius as divine, as God, making Caesar Augustus his son of God. Much was written about Augustus at the time, saying that he was the savior of the world and that he was its king and lord, and it dominated the known world. And as I said on Christmas Eve, let's just say there might have been a lot of fake news being written about Caesar Augustus at this time, about his kingdom. Caesar Augustus was considered Lord and King of the known world. Then we enter in this little Jewish town, a manger, under Roman occupation. And this manger, who is to the Son of God, the Logos, the understanding, the Christ, the King, this baby was placed in a feeding trough. The true Savior of the world is being born in a lowly manger. The true Savior of the world is not attempting to conquer its people, but instead it's showing us that God is willing to enter into the broken world, to be present, to be with us. In the midst of our own vulnerability and our own mess. In verse 14, Jax, you should have it there. Verse 14, it says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us, moved into the neighborhood. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Jesus moved into the neighborhood. This same Logos, this same Christ, that was before all time. And now, here, he is with us. It's pretty unbelievable. If we look at verse, I'm not sure if you have it there, but can we jump to verse 18? It says this, "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is God himself, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." So somehow in this mystery, God is wanting to make known himself, who is divine, ruler of everything, and reveals this to us in the person of Jesus. And the light will shine in the darkness, and darkness will not overcome it. I'm not sure about you. I don't know if you ever ask your friends for prayer. Ever do that? I do that quite often. A lot of times it's some of these friends of mine that, many of you, but some of my friends that are doing some of the same pastoral work than I, that I do, and we kind of get each other a little bit. And so I'll shoot off an email if something's going awry that week or whatnot. And there's a friend of mine, his name is Jonathan, or Jay, and he'll always say this. After I say, "Will you pray for me?" He says, "I've just lit a candle for you. I've just lit a candle for you." And in doing so, he's saying, "I'm lighting a candle to represent that Jesus is the light and that you are present and that he is present with you. And I'm lighting this candle for you." This is why we have these candles up front here. We've talked about it a little bit, but we haven't explained it as much. And I want to just highlight that a little bit this morning, is that when you see usually someone go up, it's a prayer, it's an intent to pray for someone. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you want to be praying, "God, I need to understand the light in my own life in the darkness. I'm going to light it." Or maybe you're wanting to pray for someone else. And maybe you come up and you can light a candle and you can just say, "Jesus, be the light of blank, Bob's life." And one of the ways we do that, while we do it, we understand that Jesus is the light. We understand that Jesus is present in the midst of darkness, that this is the good news of Christmas, that his light is here. He's now here with us. And for some of us, we need, some people need different ways to be able to interact. Not everyone loves singing. We all love Ajay, but I know that not every, so different people, so we have this for us. One of the things that we're going to be doing is putting a picture of Jesus there. Someone said, "We need a picture of Jesus." And I went, "Okay, well, how do we know what Jesus looks like?" Like, there's so many, no one had Instagram at that time, right? No one, pulling out their phones and took a picture. Although the church in history has shown Jesus in all kinds of different ways. So I'm going to call Darian up, and he's going to explain a little bit what we're going to do, a bit of an impromptu conversation here. Wow. Is this on? Yeah?
This is very impromptu.
It totally. And we got a traveling case. It's pretty cool. So could you explain what you have in there for us?
So some of you will know that before I came to Coast Hills, I almost converted to Orthodoxy. When one of the reasons for that was that I struggled with singing, but I really connected with some of the other ways that they worshiped and discovered God. And one of those things was their icons. And so for me, sometimes when we're singing, I get caught up in, judging what shoes people are wearing or, I get caught up in the humanness of the singing and I get distracted. And so for me to have my eyes fixed on either a cross or a picture is very helpful for me to lose that human part and just sing to Jesus. Mm. And so as we were lighting candles, I just felt like, I wanted to contribute something to the church. So Allison and I, it's small, I don't know if you can see that, but Colossians 1:5 mm-hmm. says Jesus is the icon of God, the image of the invisible. And so icons are actually, in the Orthodox Church, considered scripture. Because back in the day, not everyone could read. So they don't paint icons, they write icons. And so this was a way for people who couldn't read to interact with scripture. And so this one is would be called Jesus Pantocrator, or Jesus the Almighty, and it's an image of Jesus at the end of the age, and he's holding scripture, and it's always always written in here as a part of the gospel. So this one says, come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's all sorts of symbology throughout this. The red and the blue, red representing his divinity, the cosmic Christ, blue representing his humanity, which is girded around his waist, meaning that even still, he hasn't shed it. Mm. He's still humanity. Anyway, we'll kind of explore some of the symbology, and I'll maybe write something up. But for me, this is a way that it helps me to remember and have Christ present with me. And
So good. Thank you. Yeah, and we can we can put it up today. Like, the case is so cool. The picture is amazing too. And that's hand painted, right? Yep. Wonderful. Thank you, Darian. Why do we do this now? Because this baby that was born in a lowly manger grew to be a man who walked this earth, to be the icon, the image of the invisible God. This is what Scripture's saying to us. And I don't know about you, but we need reminders of that. We know how, in church history, icons have also gone and caused people maybe to anything can cause people to go astray in these different ways. But we're not, people aren't. Anyway, we're using this as a symbol that would create and allow us to be saying, yes, we believe that Jesus is the icon of God. We believe that God, in his fullness, dwelled in the person of Jesus, fully man and fully divine. And we need to be reminded of this. And so as you see this icon in the weeks to come, months, years, be encouraged that this is how we're able to come. This is one of the ways we're able to come and light a candle. And I love that the verses say, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Maybe towards the end of the sermon here, you know someone that needs this cosmic Christ to be present with them now. This cosmic Christ that is so big and grandiose and yet has come in the person of Jesus to us here. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need the presence of Jesus to be with you. Another Christmas name, which is not just a Christmas name for Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. And so this is just an instrument, a tool to be able to help us understand so that we can be a Jesus-centered community, so that we can continue to create gracious space through acts of generous love. It's interesting that Jesus came, God coming to man, coming to humanity in the person of Jesus. And then as we look at the gospel stories and the stories of Jesus and what he did and who he was with, you go, oh, man, I can identify with a lot of those people. And it's a reminder that God is with us here. I want to read I've been quoting Eugene Peterson a lot lately. Let's do it again. In a devotional book called God With Us, he writes this. Every year, Christmas comes around again and forces us to deal with God in the context of demanding and inconvenient children, gatherings of family members, many of whom we spend the rest of the year avoiding, all the crasser forms of greed and commercialized materiality, garnished lights and decorations. Or maybe it's the other way around. Christmas forces us to deal with all the mess of our own humanity in the context of God, who has already entered that mess in the glorious birth of Jesus. God is with us. Christmas continues. Jesus is present here with us. John 14, before Jesus is about to leave, he's in this upper room and he's meeting with his disciples, and they're saying, you can't leave us, you can't go, you can't. Earlier, Peter is like saying, you can't die. And now they're realizing, okay, he's talking about leaving, what's going to happen? And then he says these words of comfort to him. He says this, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus, God, in the midst of him being present with us now, is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. The icon of God, Jesus, is now living here amongst us by his Holy Spirit, saying to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Heaven and earth are colliding, and Christmas continues. This cosmic Christ, the God who is all above, has come down low to meet us. And he's called us as a church to live that way as well. To live a way that says, call them. Have them come to me. Have them receive from me. And this is why we hear stories of people bringing meals to people that are hurt or sick, people praying for one another. This is why next week we're going to have we're going to do our pass the plate for our community care fund again, to reveal that God is here amongst us and working through us as a people. The church, through the community care fund, we got a call from the school. The principal, and said, hey, there was a request in, wondering if the church could do this, a request in for one of the kids at AJ, who, without saying too much, but loves to rock, and their padded rocking chair has run out. It's a simple way, but guess what? This week we're going to deliver a brand new, almost like a lazy boy type rocking chair to that family and say, Christ is here. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And we want to reveal the generous love of God to you. How awesome is that? And that comes from all of you in that way. Sometimes I have so many different questions about how do we, God who's present with us, now, how are we present with each other? How are we present with our neighbors? If God has moved in the neighborhood, how are we to be moved in the neighborhood or present with our neighbors? Those are some questions I leave with you and some things that we'll need to unpack more as a church to see how we can be present with others. Christmas was when God decided to be fully present with humanity. And Christmas continues when we choose to be present with others. I want to encourage us, maybe during this last song, that you're able to come to the table here. Come to the icon of God. Obviously, it's a picture. It's not who he is, but symbolically come and say, and see that he's saying, come to me all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe you yourself need to come and light a candle for you. Or maybe you can come and light a candle for someone else and to say, I want to be present in this person's life this week and this year, just like Christ is present with me and us. Let's pray. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for revealing, God, to us for a time. And that over the centuries, we've heard stories that your church has written down and stories that your church has told of the true Savior of the world who comes full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Come to be human and made and to make your home among us. Help us understand what that means. As I read John, it's so big, and yet it's so relevant to us. Jesus, we're thankful, and we understand that you aren't just this baby that was born just over 2,000 years ago, but you are the cosmic Christ that is seated on the throne. And so we come to you and we say, allow your presence to be present in our own life and allow us to be present with others. As we light this candle, as we light the candles today, may we be reminded that Jesus, you are the light of the world, and the darkness will not overcome. Thank you for this opportunity and this reminder that Christmas continues. In your name, Jesus, amen.